A lot of people in church and get out and don't think they need it and end up somewhere they don't want to end up, amen. Let's turn to Romans 9. Amen. So we're going to finish up today, amen. Again. So let's pray. Lord, I love you, Lord, and I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for being so good to us, Lord. I just thank you for people coming to church Sunday morning, Lord, to hear more about your word, Lord. I ask you, please, to help us throughout the week, Lord, to study it, Lord, show ourselves approved, Lord, and just also read it, Lord, just to fellowship with you. Lord, it's hard to say what you're going to have us do in our life, Lord, if we're not reading your word to guide us. Please, God, help us to figure things out. Help us to do right. Just be in my church and be with the kids downstairs and next door. In Jesus' name, amen. So, well, Romans 9, we'll go ahead and do 29. Romans 9, verse 29. And as Isaiah said before, let me start over, I'm sorry. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. So I'm going to start this off. If you have a songbook, turn to your songbook. No, I'm not going to sing. You don't have to walk out, amen. Let's see what page it is. The good one, the big one. Amen. Page 144. Turn to page 144. So this is a good song. We're not going to sing it. We're not Protestants, amen. Bible believers were before Martin Luther left the Catholic Church, amen, and their hellish ways. Martin Luther called the Pope his most hellishness, amen. So look at this is a mighty fortress is our God. And I think it's in the second stanza. Look at the third little, I don't know what you call that little section there in this book. Dost ask who that may be. Christ Jesus it is, he, Lord Sabaoth. When people sing it, they always say Sabbath. It's a different word. It's a different word. But people don't, we don't pay attention. We get lazy. We do it with a lot of our songs. We don't say lisping. We add an R. We say lispering. That's not what the book says. Now, of course, it's a song book, so I don't care if we mess it up. Amen. I mess it up all the time. And Jesus wasn't lonely. It was lowly. But we do a lot of things in our songs where we mess up the words because we're not paying attention. But the problem is a lot of people in church get their doctrine from their songs. So that word, Sabaoth, I'm not saying it right. I know it's a Greek word. It's not Sabbath. One good way to know is it's spelled different. Sabbath is spelled different. So this word only shows up two times. So it's here, and then we'll go over to James 5:4, and we'll look at it. So James 5:4. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. So that word means hosts or armies. So it's the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, not Sabbath, which is like, you know, a day of rest in the Old Testament, amen, where you're not supposed to do anything but just take a pause or a break. A little thing, but it's something to think about when you're reading your Bible. Take your time and look at the words. Use a dictionary or concordance. Use your Bible to see what words mean. So the Sabbath, of course, it's sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. It's a day of rest. That's different. And here, the Lord of hosts. Amen. The Lord of the armies, Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's just one little thing to look at here. I'll mention one or two more things here in this verse. So the Sabbath, we said, you know, it's Friday night into Saturday night. When do we meet? We meet the first day of the week, right? We meet Sunday. Years ago, people called it Sabbath day, but technically this isn't Sabbath day. This is the first day of the week, not the last day of the week. Why do we meet the first day of the week? Amen. Let's look at Acts 20, verse 7. I got the sniffles. I ate like way too many empanadas for breakfast. So Acts 20, verse 7. Now this is why we're here this morning, amen. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians 16 as well real quick, just to hit that. 1 Corinthians 16. And we'll look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So lay by in store. So the first day of the week has something. Most of us think the first day of the week is Monday. It's not. First day of the week is Sunday. We go to work on Monday, but the first day of the week is Sunday. Now let's look at, let's go to Revelation. We're going to jump here now. Revelation chapter 11. The end of Romans 9:29, except for the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. What do we know about Sodom and Gomorrah? Who left Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot. Did he take a lot of people with him? Just his family, just a few people. It's sad, isn't it? As a type, that's us. Who are we taking with us when we go? Now here, of course, this applies to Israel, I know. But as a Christian, when we go, we look at it and we read the Old Testament and we look at Lot and the angels coming and telling him all the filthiness and the wickedness going on. Lot being depraved himself, willing to give his own daughters to the men at the door. The men in the town, which we can't, you know, discriminate against because that's not politically correct, wanted to rape the men in the house. Kind of like the way the world's going now, it seems like. So the angels are telling Lot, you got to go. Lot couldn't even get his son-in-laws to go with him. And even his wife didn't go willingly. She looked back. So as a Christian, your testimony, can you imagine Lot going to his son-in-laws and telling them, hey guys, this is wicked, this is filthy, we need to leave. What? You've made a living off of this. You've prospered in this area. You've fellowshipped with these people, had them over your house. You don't care. Now you care. Now, amen that Lot got right. It's never too late to get right. But how sad is it that Lot couldn't get his whole household to go with him? Or a neighbor, or a friend, or a coworker, or someone else that sat at the gate. All got wasted, all got burned because of one man not doing what he was supposed to do, amen? So let's look at Revelation 11. We'll hit verse 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Where was the Lord crucified? Jerusalem, just on the edge of Jerusalem, amen, the big city of Jerusalem. So spiritually we know Israel's got some problems. We know right now Israel has gay pride parades. They have Hug of Palestinian companies and all this stuff as they're getting bombed and knifed and rocketed because the devil's there just like he is in America, amen, and people are flesh and they just can't see the truth. So Romans 9:29, and as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. So it's turning that way now, amen. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. Things are getting better. Whoever would have thought that a male pervert pedophile could one morning say, I feel like using the little girl's room. And we'd be wrong for telling him no. Get your mind screwed on. Stop, you know, listening to fake news and fake morals. Wrong is wrong. It doesn't matter what other people think, amen. Got to have some common sense. Oh, brother, we don't judge. Okay. You got to let a rapist and a child murderer come and sleep in your children's room with your child in that room. Well, no. Well, how come you can judge? Use common sense, amen. So let's go to back to Romans 9, and we'll look at verse 30. So I think there's only two reasons we don't read our Bible. And there's days I don't do right and read it. And the two reasons we don't read it are either A, we just don't love Jesus enough, amen? Or B, you've lied to yourself about your state, and when you read the book, you see how filthy and depraved you really are, and you don't like it. Because you're told to be something. You're told to be somebody. The billboards, the commercials, all the stuff. You know, wear these clothes, smoke this cigarette, wear this hat, say this word, and you're somebody. You've arrived. Facebook, everyone wants to know everyone's doing. Everyone feels so uppity up. And we push God out the side, amen? So I don't understand. I don't know. Only you know which one it is, why you don't read your Bible. You can't say it's too hard to understand because you've no pastor's testimony, not being able to read, and Miss Linda helping him learn how to read, and he read his Bible. Why? I guess he had a love of Jesus Christ. He wanted to know something, amen? Well, I don't want to know what the Bible says. I want to know what my mom says. I want to know what my pastor says. I want to know what my friends say. You're a fool, amen. You should read the Word of God and see what God says. That's who you're going to stand before. So Romans 9, of course, the Jews had all these things, and they rejected Christ. Excuse me for the sniffles. But let's read verse 30, amen. Romans 9, 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? So let's stop right there. If you take the time to read your Bible, you're going to find out that Gentiles are filthy people, amen. I know it goes against the grain because of we dress and our jeans are pretty and our shoes are nice. Why am I harping on this? Because so many Christians today, they think they're somebody. They think they're something. I'm not doping anymore. I'm not murdering. I'm not a rapist. You're comparing yourselves among others. We know the Bible says that's not wise. If you can get yourself zoned in right and focused, I'm nothing, I'm a nobody, where you're supposed to be, then the Lord can use you, and I'm somebody. If you're anything, it's only because of Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's go to Deuteronomy here. The Old Testament, Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 7. So Deuteronomy 7, we're just going to read verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and have cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Let's go over to chapter 9 in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 9, verse 4. Speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. So here, Israel got all this land, not because they were righteous. God gave them this because Israel as a whole was filthy. They got the land because of others' wickedness, because those heathens weren't doing right and weren't giving God honor. Now, thank God, because of Abraham and his faith, Israel got in, amen, and the Jews got in. But they didn't get this land because they were somebody. My Catholic family thinks Mary, just a regular woman, yes, she was a regular woman, got chosen because she was like a god and she was perfect. No, she became somebody because God chose her. Yeah. Now, granted, she was trying to do right and trying to be clean and had a certain lifestyle, I'm sure, but a lot of women did back then. God chose her, of course, because who he wanted the seed to come through and how he wanted it to go. So people kind of get stuck on things and stuck on themselves, amen. But let's remember now, Romans 9 is a tough one going through about Israel. And this is a hard thing for people, and I think I said this a while ago, and I'll do it one more time just for educational purposes. If you go to the very first page of Matthew, or the last page of Malachi, don't worry if there's writing in between there, it's just some guy's notes. That's a division. Old Testament, New Testament. That's a division. You got to start with that, because people think everything's the same in the Bible. You have to realize there's divisions. The Bible's broken up into parts. Old Testament, New Testament is the first part. Well, hold on a minute. If God divides things, that means he might like some people more than others. He does. We went over that earlier on. God likes the Jews, amen. He likes Israel. So when you're reading your Bible in the New Testament, you can look at your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and realize parts of those in the beginning, Christ hasn't died yet and rose again. They're under Old Testament law. There's a transition going in there. You can look and see James. It's written to Israel. We can apply some things spiritually, but doctrinally, you got to be careful with some of that stuff. If you have other scripture to back it up, of course you can apply. Elect, tough word. People get it mixed up all the time. Elect can mean different things. 9 out of 10 times, the elect are the Jews. We get saved. We become predestinated or elect, of course, for heaven through Jesus Christ. Not anything we've done. It's not of works, amen. So let's go ahead back to Romans 9. Sorry to go fast. I want to finish this out today, amen. I've had 15 people tell me I won't finish the chapter today. Amen. I am crying about it. But let's look at verse 31. Romans 9, verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. Now, isn't it funny that Israel, who saw God, walked with God, saw what happened when people didn't follow the law and the rules, and saw all these crazy, miraculous things, still on their own couldn't obtain righteousness, amen? Let's take a look here. Let's go to Romans 10. We'll just flip over. We'll just hit verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. All right, let's go over to Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 17. Romans 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Does it stop right there? No. In life by one, Jesus Christ. So righteousness cometh through Jesus Christ, amen. So you need Jesus Christ. The Jews saw all these different things and they rejected and rejected and rejected. I'm not saying we're any better, amen. We're in a different period, different division right now, amen. It's not works. We'll hit that in a moment. Let's back in Romans 9, verse 32. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled, at that stumbling stone. Okay, let's go to Galatians. Now, as a Catholic for 27 years, When my cousin Roe and my sister Rebecca first witnessed to me, I thought, what a bunch of idiots. You know, God knows my credit score. God knows how much money I got in the bank. God knows that, you know, I haven't murdered anybody. I had this work system worked out where my righteousness actually meant something, I thought. You know, my hair was cooler, my pants were cooler, whatever my stupid status quo was or whatever it was, you know, I did this nice thing or whatever it was, whatever your level is, you had this stupid thing worked out. If you read your Bible, you realize that Christ is a stumbling stone for people that are trying to work their way to heaven. And that's offensive. It just said he was offensive, amen. Because we have this problem with the only Jesus we know isn't from our Bible reading, it's from TV. And Jesus is a queer hippie that gets high, accepts you as you are, and you leave as you are. No, he'll accept you in the state you're in because you need to realize the state you're in to get saved, but you should leave different, amen. And you should grow. You shouldn't be the same as you were 20 years ago. You should be growing, amen. It's funny how Jesus has that effect on people, amen. But I guess you'd have to look into that. So Galatians 3, verse 24. 3:24. I had read my Bible once or twice, and George had a class a long time ago, and he made us memorize this verse. And it was the craziest thing in the world. I'd never seen this verse. Verse 24, 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, of course, we're not against the law. We need law. A lot of the law in the Old Testament has still got a lot of good stuff for us. It doesn't hurt us to follow it. But the problem is some people are trying to work their way there. They're trying to do good deeds. They're trying to, well, my family believes you do this. You speak this way. You act this way. You do that. Who cares what your family believes or thinks? What's the Bible say? I'm not trying to be rude and knock your family. But at the same time, if you're saying, well, my family believes this tradition, like my Catholic Church family did, then I don't give a flip about God. It's okay. It's our mindset. It's okay for us to offend God and flippantly tell God what to do. But hey, grandma did it this way. It's got to be the right way. No, that's humanism. You feel good, and that's your grandma. Of course, I don't want you to be rude to grandma. But just because grandma did it doesn't mean it's right. Amen? So I was going to say something about my grandmother, but I'll move on. Amen. Let's go to Romans 9. Romans 9. We'll hit verse 33 here, and then we'll summarize it all for a moment. Romans 9, verse 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 8. Can you guys hear my sniffles magnified, or is it just me that hears them? I'm sorry. I'd blow my nose, but it would be worse, and it would come all over again. We'll have to get an anti-sniffler or something on this thing. So Isaiah 8, let's look at verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the house of to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Let's flip over to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, and look at verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. So, let's take a peek here. I didn't write it down. Yeah, let's back up. Okay. Now, let's go back to Romans 9. So Jesus Christ is our cornerstone, amen. I think we did something with the kids one time in junior church where we put a brick and had a little, I don't know if it was a, not Paw Patrol, some little pet on the brick. And then we did some sand and baking soda and all that kind of stuff and put another one on that one. And we dumped vinegar on the brick. Nothing happened. We dumped vinegar on the baking soda and the sand and it all fizzed and fell apart and the foundation crumbled. What you're standing on is going to matter whether or not you fall. If you're standing solely on Jesus Christ, you're not going to fall. Now, of course, you're flesh, but when you fall, it's not Jesus Christ's fault. It's you, because you're stepping out on your own to do what you want, what makes you feel good, not what the book says to do, because it's all about you, amen, you think. So here in Romans 9, we went through this. I'm going to back up to verse 28, because I kind of rushed through that last week, and since I've got a few minutes, amen. Verse 28. Oh, that's an 8. I should go to 9. 9:28 in Romans. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. So I think we said last week the Lord's long-suffering, but he will make a short work. Now, I'm going to Rymanize it. What I learned through Pastor Ryman was the Lord's going to give you enough rope to hang yourself. Oh, no, God's a hippie who wears flowers and smiles. No, God gives you free will. He doesn't allow sin, doesn't want sin, but he's going to allow you to make your own choice, and this ground is cursed, and you're going to have to make a choice to follow him. It's not Islam. We're not Catholic. We're at sword point. We're going to force you to do things. Pastor always said, Lord gives you enough rope to hang yourself. So, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. So we know that's the tribulation, the great tribulation. Let's look at Matthew real quick. Matthew 24. I'm going to get Eric Riley to read for me. Matthew 24, read all the way through 35, amen. Yes, sir. 1 through 35, yeah.
Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him and cried, fellows, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be seen. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Amen.
And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, ye shall know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass, till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, my words shall not pass away.
Amen. That's good. Amen. So you'll notice when you're reading that, no Christians are mentioned. They talk about keeping the Sabbath. So who's it apply to? What's it have to do with? Well, the Great Tribulation. We don't have time to get into all that right now. But I know because of verse 10, you think it's now, today, us. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. That's churches today. I know it's a good type of today, but this is what's going to happen here in the future, amen, shortly. So doctrinally, you know, it's for the Great Tribulation. Let's go over spiritually real quick since we have a few more minutes. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. But the Lord is long-suffering and will make a short work of it. Doc always said, accept the bread of life or end up burnt toast. It was a cool picture, amen. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll look at verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's go over to James 4:14. Now, doctrinally, I know who James is written to. Spiritually, we can apply some things. Amen. So, James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Let's back up to the Old Testament. Let's go to Isaiah. This will be our last scripture here. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Let me get Brother Jeremiah Buckland to read Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Amen. So, going through the book of Romans chapter 9, it goes over a lot of different things. Paul starts off by saying, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. I think we spent 2 weeks just on truth and lie. Amen. And as a Christian, how we should act. But of course, I guess you got to read the book, amen. So, going through all the things Israel saw and all the chances they had, and they still rejected and rejected and rejected. We're no better. I know there's people in here today that have been at funerals and heard Brother Joe or Brother Squeak or somebody give the plan of salvation, or they've read tracts. It doesn't apply to me. It doesn't matter to me. Spiritually, verse 28, today's the day you need to get saved, amen. You need to stop putting it off. Israel kept putting things off. Read through Romans chapter 9 again. Israel had all these things given to them, all these miracles and wondrous things they got to witness and see, and they still ignored it all. I wonder now, the atheists and the liberals in Houston, as that storm was coming in, those waters were rising, I guarantee you for a few moments they stopped their stupidity and they were crying out to God. God, I don't know you. I don't understand. I need something. Because a lot of that's just a stupid facade or something fake that people wear because it sounds cool. It sounds tough. Or we're just too prideful to say, I don't understand. Teach me. Pastor said he got to lead a gentleman to the Lord who was up in years, who for years, no one had ever explained it to him. No one takes the time. Are you saved? You're going to go to hell if you're not saved. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I got saved. I was drowning once, or I slid into home base, and I was safe. Okay, you're saved. Amen. Hey, I got a badge. That person's saved. We don't take the time. What'd you do to get saved? How long have you been saved? What has the Lord done for you? I was at Maridel Ag, and I backed up to get some stuff, and I got out. I'm like, oh, man, I haven't seen this guy before. This was like a month or two ago. I'm like, I'm going to witness to him. And I get out, and I go up, and before I can say anything, he's like, hey, what's the Lord done for you lately, buddy? Totally knocked me off guard. I was like, that's pretty awesome. And I started talking to him. And he starts telling me how the Lord answered some of his prayers. And I asked him if he was saved and what him and his wife. And he goes to a Mennonite church, I guess, down the road. He's got salvation right. I didn't go into all the other things of the world. But he's got salvation right. You'd be amazed when you open your mouth and start talking. We don't think so because we watch a lot of California TV. But there are some Christians out there, amen. There are some saved people out there. And I wonder when they look at us, if they think we're Christians, are we saved? We're supposed to be a peculiar people, different, amen? There should be something in us. Now, just because there's something in you, whether it's the spinach in your teeth or your hair or your shoes or your attitude, whatever, that's not enough. You need to actually open your mouth and not be ashamed for Jesus Christ. You need to say something. Now, I know ISIS is strong with their sword and their suicide bombs, but Christians are supposed to be strong and long-suffering. If they don't agree with me or believe the truth, I'm not going to kill them. I'm going to pray for them. They're going to get saved. I believe people can get saved. I believe there's a lot of Muslims right now getting saved. I know there's a lot of fakes just to sneak into countries and all that stuff. But I know there are some Christians out there that don't have time for Facebook. And they don't have time to bicker and argue about this brother in church wears this kind of shirt. And this brother, you know, saw this thing. And this person read this thing. And who cares? If that stuff's causing problems in the church, then talk to pastor and pray about it, and we'll get it taken care of. But imagine if Bible believers all got on the same page and said, hey, we want to see souls saved, and we want to see the saved grow. Because we have some people just want to see people saved. We have other people just want to see people grow. We need both. We need people to continue to get saved, but they need to grow in Christ, amen? And imagine if all the Bible-believing churches would stop fighting over tribulations and silly little doctrines and just focus on the A thing, salvation and basic growth. Let the Lord deal with it all later. Amen. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to speak about your word. God, I know I sped through some things and missed some things, Lord. Please, I ask you, me included, Lord, for everyone in here, Lord, just to prick our heart, Lord. Help us to have a desire, Lord, to see what your book says, Lord. Not itching ears and worrying about what a man says or a man teaches, Lord. Let us just to look at your word and compare scripture with scripture, Lord. Just take our time, Lord, to look at divisions, to actually look up definitions of words, and just see what things mean. Lord, I thank you for my church. I thank you for people coming out for Sunday school, Lord. I ask you, please, to bless the preaching, Lord, Sunday morning, Lord. Any visitors, Lord, help the lost to get saved. Help the saved to grow closer to you. Again, Lord, I just love you and thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I guess we've got about 10 minutes, guys.